I apologize, I'm a little late. There was some traffic on the way back from Mishkafayim this morning. So we voted on last time was to try to continue this this topic before moving on. Anyway, I forgot to send out Numar Makovo. So maybe we'll try to finish up the topic we started of doing mitzvos lishma and what the concept of lishma means, and doing mitzvos out of Ava, out of Yira. And then if there's time, maybe we'll begin the next topic as well. So if you recall, just to quickly chazer over, last time we spoke about the Chaye Adam rights, that a person should do mitzvos mi'yira, and even mitzvos muskalos, like tzedakah, kibrav, gezel, arayos, which are things that seichel is mechayev, that a person would do. A person shouldn't do it because seichel is mechayev, you should do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you're supposed to do it, and that's based on Rashi, in Parshas Kedoshim. Rashi says that you don't want to, you shouldn't say, I don't want Basur Chazir. You say, I love Basur Chazir. Cheeseburgers look delicious, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do it, and therefore I'm not going to do it. So the Rambam made a distinction in Shmona Prakim, where he suggests that there's a difference between the mitzvah Shimios and the mitzvah Sichlios, that when it comes to those things that are chukim, that don't have a clear svara to, so then it's better to have a yitzer hara, and you get greater schar for overcoming that yitzer hara. But when it comes to things that are moral, things that are sichlios, things that make logical sense, so a moral person shouldn't have a desire to murder or to steal or to do things that to commit adultery or to do things that are absolutely terrible, even though he puts a rayos in the other category, but to do things that are that svara dictates that are absolutely terrible. So we discussed that Rambam a little bit. Then we got into discussing the concept of what it means to do a mitzvah shalal lishma and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. So we pointed out that there are four gemaras that point us in a variety of different directions. You have a gemara Maseches Tainis, and Maseches Brachos said it's poisonous to do a mitzvah shalal lishma, that it's a sama moves when you do a mitzvah shalal lishma. You have Psachim Daf Nun that the olam yasid vadim tor mitzvah bishalal lishma shemitok shalal lishma bal lishma, that it's great to do a mitzvah shalal lishma. It's not the best. The best is lishma, but it's still great. It's still really wonderful to do a mitzvah shalal lishma. Then you have Nazir Chav Gimel, where the Gemara says that mitzvah miyakavid. The Gemara starts by saying poshim yikashlubam. Right, that this is the example of poshim yikashlubam, is if a person eats his karma pesach l'shem achila gasa, and then the Gemara says, how could you call him posheya? He's doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah miyakavid. You can't call such a person a posheya. And then we have Psachim Dav Ches, when it comes to tzedakah. This appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, appears in a number of places. When it comes to mitzvah tzedakah, you give tzedakah, al menash yichye b'ni, harei zet tzadik gomer, that the person is considered a tzadik gomer. So we started discussing various approaches to reconcile this four-way stira, if you want to call it that, in terms of how to internalize or how to assess the value or lack thereof of a mitzvah shalal lishma. And we pointed out that Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim says there are trei minei shalal lishma. There are two types of shalal lishma. There's shalal lishma where you're trying to absolutely corrupt the Torah, and then there's shalal lishma where you like kavod because you're a human being and human beings like kavod, and it feels good when people are mechabed you. So sometimes a person learns a lot of Torah because they want to become a rabbi, because they are under the impression that rabbis get a lot of kavod and they enjoy getting kavod. So that's the reason you're learning Torah. That's say not great, but it's good. It's shalal lishma that will be balishma. But sometimes a person learns Torah to be a mekatrig and to cause problems for the talmidei chachamim, and to be that guy in the shir that makes the rabbi look like an idiot or whatever. You know, to know enough to cause trouble. So if a person is going to do that, so then it's better off not learning. You know, we elaborated on that in contemporary times a little bit. So then we said that the Tosfos Pesachim says a little differently. Tosfos Pesachim says when it comes to tzedakah, I raise it tzadu gamor only because when it comes to tzedakah, there's an assumption that you're all in. There's an assumption that you very much want to give that tzedakah. But in a chinami, if a person gives tzedakah al menashe yichye b'ni, and then it's not yichye b'ni, then he's not a tzadu gamor. Then he regrets it because it's not yichye b'ni, then he's not a tzadu gamor. You can't regret it. So I remember if we went into the Meshiv Davar at all, I think maybe we mentioned very briefly, but the Netziv has a very important tshuva, or a very interesting tshuva, I should say, on this topic. The Meshiv Davar in Chelek Pei Simen Mem Hei. The Netziv, his whole life is a Pella. He was the busiest Rosh Yeshiva in the world, and when he had time to write all the things that he wrote, it's just he was one of the most prolific writers of his time. So he wrote normal Sfarim, Shas and Shuvas, and Chidushim and Shas, and Perush and Chumash, normal Sfarim. But then he also wrote like Sfarim that nobody else would have ever dreamed of writing. There's no one that learns Shiltas Rav Chaigon because they want to learn the Shiltas Rav Chaigon. They learn Shiltas Rav Chaigon because they want to learn what the Netziv had to say in the Shiltas Rav Chaigon. Like he became the it's like the footnotes on the Ritz Vinny Thomas. He became the commentary became the Iker Sefer. Just unbelievable. His commentary in the Sefri. He has so much. So anyway, in his Shuvas Meshuv Davar, he quotes Ramah in Yeridayo, where the Ramah writes that if someone takes a neder and says Im Yichya Ploni Hachola, Az etin kach v'kach v'tzedaka. That if such and such a chola is going to live, then I'll give X amount of to tzedaka. So let's say the chola dies, so he's pater minidra. He doesn't have to fulfill the neder. And kol shekein, someone says etin sal tzedaka kedei sheyichya b'ni v'im lo yichya lo etin. Certainly, if a person makes a tanai kafel, he says that if my son is going to live, then I'm going to give this amount of money in tzedaka. And if he doesn't live, I'm not going to give this amount of money in tzedaka. Then for sure he doesn't have to do. Why does he quote this from Ramah? Because the Netziv was asked about the following shayla. Nebuch, there was a case of Echad Shenola Dolben. There's someone that had a child, and the guy took a neder to give a davar katzuv called Shavua and Chai Shonim. That he had so much karsatov, the Ribbono Shel Olam blessed him with the child, that he was going to give X amount of money to tzedakah every week of the child's life until he turns 18, until he's of legal voting age or whatever, I guess. Drinking age in Israel, right? Whatever, until he turns 18. So then that's that he's going to give X amount of money to tzedakah every week, and he's going to put it in an account in a fund, and then the fund is going to build up enough by the time the kid turns 18 that they'll be able to buy a sefer Torah with that money. So he's going to have a sefer Torah for this child. Very beautiful idea. Unfortunately, things didn't work out so well because two and a half years later, he had collected a certain amount of money, and Meis Hayelad, the child passed away. So now the Shaila came, if he's still Mechuyav to be Mekayim Nidro, does he still have to be Mekayim the Neder? So what would most people do in that situation? So everyone is different, and everyone deals with tragedy differently. But some people might say, okay, now we're going to write a Sefer Torah Lila Nishmasa. That's a thing that a lot of people do. But this fellow wanted to know. He felt very bitter about this, that here he dedicated a mitzvah for every week of his child's life because he was so excited about having a child. And then Meis Hayelad. So the Netziv says, the Ramah writes that if you make a neder l'tzedaka al menas, that a child should live, and then the child doesn't live, then you're pater. But he says, agav, what Rama is telling me is that who chayiv be'emes l'shalim nidro afilu meis haben im lo shepirish v'amar im lo yichya lo etein. Meaning, if he doesn't say, if he says kedesh yichya b'ni, then it should be a zechus for my son. But he doesn't say that it's almanas sheyichya. It's not that it's al tenai that my son will live. Then you're mechuyev to give the money anyway. You're giving with the hope that the zuchus of the mitzvah will be beneficial to the child. So the Netziv writes. He says this is all derived from the Brais Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, one would look at the Ramah and say, when you look at something on the surface, the Ramah is saying that you don't have to pay up. So where did the Ramah get that from? There's no Gemara that says you don't have to pay up. He says no. What the Ramah's the diuk of the Ramah is that you would have to pay up if you didn't make it conditional, and that diuk comes from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Because Gemara Rosh Hashanah Dav Dalid and elsewhere in Shas, like we pointed out in Pesachim Dav Ches and elsewhere, the Gemara says Homer Selazul Tzak B'Shvil Sheyichy B'ni Yareiz Tzad Gamur, and the Gemara says that the Yisrael that is Eino Chozer Bo Afilu Main B'No Chai, that's what we're talking about. The Mistama, he's not doing Al Menas the Kabbal Pras, he's doing it because he wants to do the mitzvah, and so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't fulfill what he wants, that's not going to be it's not Al Menas the Kabbal. kabel pras in the sense that it's not almanas, it's not pitanai. So the assumption is that when you do a mitzvah for the zuchus of something, that you're interested in the mitzvah regardless, and that's still called the shema. Meaning, what the mitzvah is telling us is an important thing, that we're trying to assess all the gemaras about doing mitzvah shalom l'shma. The gemara in Pesachim about tzedakah al-Nashiach Ibni didn't say shalom l'shma. It said that you're giving tzedakah al-Nashiach Ibni. It didn't say that you're doing a shalom l'shma. It says in the tziv, that is l'shma. Meaning, when you go do a mitzvah, and you do it in the zchus of Rav Shleima for so-and-so, that doesn't make the mitzvah shalom l'shma. That is a mitzvah l'shma. Provided that you're interested in the mitzvah regardless of what the results are going to be. If you make it al minas, you make it al tanai, then maybe it's a shalom l'shma. So then maybe you have what to discuss where that fits. But when you're doing it without a tanai present, you're doing it with a, just l'zuchus something, that wouldn't even fit the category of shalom l'shma. Then we had a couple of other approaches in reconciling all of this. But one thing I wanted to get to is the Rambam's approach. You know, when we talk about doing mitzvah shalom l'shma, so the primary sugya is clearly the Gemara in Pesach.
What about, if you don't have a specific tanai, I understand, but what about umdin and das? What about his whole reason he said he was going to give money was clearly...
No, so that's what the Nitziv's whole chiddush is, that I mean, it's not really his chiddush, it's based on the Gemara, that the umdina is that if you're a Jew and you do a mitzvah, you're never going to regret it. You're going to be happy that you did the mitzvah. This may have been what pushed you to do the mitzvah, but that doesn't make it a mitzvah shalom l'shma. What pushed you into doing the right thing, which you want to do, and you really want to do the right thing, but what pushed you into it was this lachatz of an that pushed you into it. Meaning someone, Rachman al-San, has a chola that they're davening for, and they daven the best Shemon Esrei of their lives. Now the chola doesn't make it. So do they regret davening that Shemon Esrei? No one ever regrets davening that Shemon Esrei. That was a moment of comfort, it was a moment of connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was a moment that they wish they could recapture, even as they're going through their avelus or whatever. It's a moment that they... So that doesn't make it. That's what the Sif's whole point. So that does not make it Shalol L'shma. That does not knock it down to Shalol L'shma. But I want to spend some time on the Rambam. The Rambam paraphrases the Gemara of Pesachim. And again, the Gemara of Pesachim, we all ask the Torah mitzvah, Safi Shalol L'shma, Shemitok Shalol L'shma, Bal L'shma. So the Gemara says Torah and mitzvah. So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halacha Hei, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Einu Nidon Ela Al HaTalmud. Right, when a person is going to be nidon, it's tchilas dino is only al talmud, which is a stam akasha that Tosas asks. That it's a stira in two gemaras, right? One gemara says that tchilas dino shel adam is about learning, and then we have the gemara in Shabbos that talks about the six questions that you're going to be asked las alava, right? So what's the first question? And then you have kavati itim l'torah. And you have all the questions. It's a piece of Yeshua and everything else. So you have six questions. I remember Rabbi J.J. Schachter told us once, he was sharing with us a drasha that he had given in the Jewish Center many years ago. And the drasha was on Rosh Hashanah. And it was about Yom Hadin, I said. And it was about Yom Hadin. And he said, the drasha started out by saying, we think of Passover as the night of four questions. But really, the Yom HaDin is a time for four questions. Because we're told about the din that we're going to face in Shemayim, and there are four things we're going to have to answer for. And he picked four questions from that Gemara, and he went through them. Beautiful drasha. So he was sharing this with a group of Rabbanim. This goes back many, many years. And one of the Rabbanim says, but there are six. So Rabbi Schachter said, you know that. And I know that, but most of the people in the Jewish Center didn't know that. So it works as a drasha. So, I don't know. Okay, but it was a nice drasha. That's Taka. That's the famous part. Gemara Tzchiyus quotes from the Gra in the back of the Gemara that it's Tosas as a kasha that Tzchiyus Dino Shel Adam is only on Torah, but then the other Gemara says that you have all these other questions. So the Gra says that if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos where it describes the six questions, the line before that goes through the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And each word in the pasuk that relates to a different one in the Sidrei Mishnah. So the Gra put the two together, and he said all the questions are really about Talmud Torah. They're about the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Satsma Satav Emunah means that you learn Seder Zrayim. Kavati Yitim L'Torah means that you learn Seder Mor. It fits the, if you look back at the Gemara, it fits beautifully. It's mamish one line after the next in the Gemara where it goes through the Shishas of the Mishnah, but they're all really about Talmud Torah. They're all about the different Siddharma Mishnayis, which means L'Chorah, that you have to learn Mishnayis. That's going to be in the big Bechina up in Shemayim. It's not only going to be Nashim Nezikin. You know, you can have all, two out of six on the exam is not a very good score, right? You're going to want to get six out of six on the exam. So it's probably a good idea to learn all this, the Siddharma of Mishnayis. So the Rambam writes, so that's Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, and then Vachachach Al Shar Ma'asav, right? This is the value of Talmud Torah. L'fichach Amru Chachamim, and that's why the Chachamim say, L'olim Yasag Adam B'Torah, Bein L'Shma, Bein Shlal L'Shma, Shem Yitam Shlal L'Shma, Bein L'Shma. So look at that, the Rambam pulled a fast one on us, no? The Gemara says, L'olim Yasag Adam Torah, Mitzos, Al Bishlal L'Shma, Shem Yitam Shlal L'Shma, Bein L'Shma. So the Rambam says, you know how Chashuv Talmud Torah is? It's the first thing you're going to be asked about up in Shemayim, and then everything else is going to come second to Talmud Torah, where you engage in Atzalos Nefashos and Tzedakah and all the great things, and Shabbos and Kash, all of that is going to be after Talmud Torah, and that's why Chazal say that Dafka Torah, you should do Shalosh Lishma, Shemitah Shalosh Lishma, Bel Lishma. That's not what the Gemara says, right? He pulled the Rabbi J.J. Shachter on us. You got to look up the Gemara. The Gemara says Lom Yatzim B'Torah Ube Mitzvos. It doesn't just say Lom Yatzim B'Torah. It says Torah and Mitzvos. Rami Milch Shuva Perigur Alacha Hei Kolosik B'Torah Kidei Lekabel Schar. Oh, Kadei Shalot Tagiyah Lof Peranos. Harei Osik Shalol Lishma. So first is, he defines Shalol Lishma. Shalol Lishma means that you're learning because you want schar. You're learning because you want to avoid suffering. V'kol Osik Ba Lo Liyira V'lo L'Kabel Schar Elam B'nei Avas Adon Kol Ha'aretz Shetziva Ba Harei Zo Osik Ba Lishma. If you're doing it not for schar, right, that's the famous Maisa, what was it, with the Gra, where he sent someone to buy the Esrog. You know the Maisa? Everyone knows the Maisa?
It's in here.
Oh, is it in here?
Yeah.
Where is it?
At the end.
Oh, okay. So there's a Maisa with the Gra in these Marmakovel somewhere, where...
Anaf Eitz Avos, right here.
Okay. In the Anaf Eitz Avos, in the Rav Vadia. So where the Gra sent someone to buy him an Esrog, and the guy, and he said, whatever price you have to pay, and the guy went to buy the Esrog, and he said, the fellow didn't want to sell it to him, and he said, but I'm willing to pay whatever price. He said, whatever price? Okay, I want all the schar mitzvah that the gra gets for the esrog. I want the schar of that mitzvah, and then the gra could have my esrog. So he was nervous. How's he going to go back to report to the gra that he just bought the esrog for all the schar that he's going to get for all the schar mitzvah? I don't know what kind of schar mitzvah the gra probably gets, he probably does mitzvahs with a certain amount of intensity and kavana that probably is a very, very valuable mitzvah. So the gra was overjoyed. Because he said, now I finally get to do a mitzvah lishma. So what does it mean, now I finally get to do a mitzvah lishma? Because Rambam defines, lishma means that you're doing it just because it's avas adon kol ha'aretz. That you just do it because you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so you want to do mitzvahs, because you know that that's what makes a Kodesh Baruch Hu happy. Not because you're expecting anything from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'amru chachamim, lo lim yasat adam b'torah, v'afi l'shol lishma, sh'mitol shol lishma, b'al lishma, l'ficha k'shemalamdim nasa ketanim, nasa nashim, klala me'aretz, meaning, when Chazal tell us that you should do Torah Shalol Lishma, Shemitah Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma, it's not telling you that if you can't do Lishma, which is really how you should start, really you should start off at the Lishma point, so then at least do Shalol Lishma. No, that's the opposite direction. What they're telling you is that it always has to start Shalol Lishma. Because no one on day one is ready for Lishma. So you always start to Shalol Lishma, and Shalol Lishma is the way to build to Lishma. It is the tried and true way to build up to Lishma. No one's Lishma on day one. So you when you're teaching children, you're teaching Amayaris, you're teaching people who never learned before, so you sell to them, the schar that they can get, whether it be actual tangible schar, you know, you give kids prizes and things like that, or a lot of approval and a lot of love and everything else that they're doing it for, and then ultimately when they do it enough, they'll ultimately get to the point of Lishma. But the problem with the Rambam is obvious, right? That the Rambam leaves out the fact that the Gemara says that you should be Osek b'mitzvos, and not only, so the easy answer is, why did the Rambam leave out the mitzvos?
It's not talking
about it.
What? It's not talking about it.
Well, the Gemara says the Torah mitzvos. Different Girsa, right? The easy answer is he's responsible for a different Girsa, the Gemara. Okay, but there's a fundamental point of dispute then, because the Rambam doesn't just leave out the mitzvahs, he makes a point of leaving out the mitzvahs, right? Meaning, it's a shita. It's not just the Gemara happened to not mention mitzvahs. It's a shita. It's dafka by Talmud Torah that there's such an inyan of learning Shalom Lishma. And then because dafka by Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is so chashuv. So how are we miyashev this Rambam? Or how do we understand the Rambam's shita over here? So three basic approaches. There is a fascinating tshuva in Igros Moshe, in Chelek Aleph Simul Chaf. So Moshe, most of his tshuvas are halachas ma'isa, because that's what tshuvas are for. It happens to be, a lot of times, you know, you ever open up an Igros Moshe, you're told that he deals with a certain shayla, and you see that anaf aleph, anaf beis, anaf gimel, you know, you're like, this is like a 35-page, sometimes it depends who he's writing to, right? When he wrote to Rav David, he wrote like a whole kuntros, you know, because Rav David could handle it and would read the whole thing. Sometimes he wrote to whatever, to someone else, and he would write like one little paragraph, you know. Sometimes it depended how he was feeling or like what he wanted to get into. But a lot of times, what do? You just skip to the end. What does he say? Allah Maisa. And like anyone can tell you what Rav Meisha Shita is about Chol of Yisrael, right? But like how many of us actually learn through the tshuva? Like learn through all the right, and why is it different than the pre-chadash? What is it, you know, like actually learn through the inyan. It's kedai to learn through, it's not so easy to learn through Moshe's tshuvas because he wasn't a super clear writer. It wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like Rav Asher Weiss in terms of the style of writing where just everything was made so easy and laid out for you. And I'm going to tell you three things. Here's one, here's two, here's three. And here are the three things I just told you. You know, like that's a certain mahalich, which is makes things very easy. Rav Moshe wasn't like that. He had a lot of run-on sentences and a lot of qualifications on the qualifications within a sentence. But it's very kedai to read through what he writes in Igros Moshe. So in Yom HaDiyomah, Rav Moshe talks about in the context of this Rambam, the Ran in the Dharam Daf Pei Aleph says that, you know, Dabrazeh Shalom Yilvim, that no one knew the reason why Alma of the Haaretz, right? Why we lost Eretz Yisrael, why the Churban had to happen. So the Gemara says that until finally, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Shalom Berucho B'Torah Tchila, we didn't say Berucho HaTorah. So one of the most, as Rabbi Raz Shlita would say, top five famous runs in Nedarim is the run on that line that he found in the Megillah Starim of Rabbi Yonah that the Torah was not chashuva be'inehem. And that's what Shlo Birchu b'Torah Tchilu. What, the onus of not saying Birchu, not doing the mitzvah saseh, of not saying Birchu Torah cost us Eretz Yisrael, the basic English and everything? That's not the stav there. No, it's that what that symbolized. That it symbolized that I found in this Megillah Starim of Rabbeinu Yonah that it symbolized that the Torah was not chashuva b'neim. Frekt Ramesha Pashin Akasha. Not a kasha on the Rabbeinu Yonah. A kasha on why the Ran is Mimerchak Tavi Lachma, he brings from a Rabbeinu Yonah in a Megillah Starim. There's an Afner Rashi in Bab Metzia that says mamish the same thing. Rashi in Bab Metzia Daf Pei Hei. Rashi says because it was not chashuva beinayim. On that same line of Leberchu B'Torah Tchila. So the Ran has to come and bring me a Megillah Starim of Rabbeinu Yonah that says it's a beferish of Rashi. Right? Sometimes, you know, people will quote, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, Rav Salvechik said, and it's like they're quoting like Rashi and Chumash. You know, Rav Salvechik didn't say, I'm sure he read Rashi and Chumash like the rest of us. But, you know, sometimes it's like it's beferish, it's right there. So Ramesh says, I don't understand, what's the Ran doing over here? So he says, it seems that these are Beis Perushim Upligi, that the Ran and Rashi, the Rabbeinu Yonah and Rashi are saying two different things, and they're really arguing with each other. He says, Yesh Lefarish. The mashal of birchu hayu mishum shasarvu delimra torah ein a mitzvah mitzal atzma k'sham mitzvos elarak kadei sheyedu eich lekayim a mitzvos. He says it could be that lo birchu b'torah tchila means, what does it mean that they didn't treat it as a mitzvah chashuva? It means that they thought it was a hechsher mitzvah. Then why do I learn Torah? I learn Torah so I can know how to do. Lumol amanas lasos means that I learn halacha so I can know how to behave. Not because Torah has inherent value. And therefore, they didn't say a bracha on it, because who says a bracha? A hechsher mitzvah. You say a bracha on a mitzvah, right? What's a hechsher mitzvah when you tie tzitzis? That's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. That's a high level hechsher mitzvah. And you don't even say a bracha on that. When you build the sukkah, also a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. Right? You know the famous mitziv in the commentary to the Shilta says hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra is a higher level hechsher mitzvah. When the Torah tells you the hechsher mitzvah, so then you have a lot of the klalim of mitzvahs apply even to the hechsher mitzvah, like mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha, for example. Apply. So if you want to know, should I tie my own tzitzis or should I have someone else do it? So probably you should tie your own tzitzis. Should I build my own sukkah? If someone else do it, probably you should build your own sukkah, at least roll out the schach, you know, to do something, to participate in the mitzvah. So these are high-level extra mitzvahs, but you don't say a bracha, you don't say a birksa mitzvah on building a sukkah, you don't say a birksa mitzvah on tying tzitzis. You know, a lot of times when kids tie tzitzis and they're told that you're supposed to do the shema, so they say the shema mitzvah tzitzis, they think they're saying a bracha. They don't realize the difference. Because sometimes when we train kids, you saw this something yesterday, sometimes when we train kids to say words, we should let them know what those words mean, right? We're going to sing, ki kor ve'lecha adav mod b'fichol v'vavcha la'aso, so we should probably tell them what it is that's kor ve'lecha adav mod b'fichol v'vavcha la'aso, right? It's a good ha'ara. We should let them know, like, what it is exactly that we're talking about. So I think it's a bracha. It's not a bracha. There's no bracha on a hechsher mitzvah, so it's no different than asiyas ha'sukkah. And that's what they were punished. That's what they were punished for. Because the Torah is a mitzvah be'etzem to learn Torah. It's not only so you can know how to be mekayim mitzvahs. And not only that, not only is it a mitzvah be'etzem, it's the greatest mitzvah be'etzem. Talmud Torah, keneged kulam, says the Mishnah Maseches Peah. And that's what Rashi means. That since they didn't say a bracha, they were being megala das, that was not a matana chashuba to them, meaning that limud Torah inyan esek limud Torah atzma el rakiyum mitzvos hu matana chashuba to them. They didn't think that the limud Torah was the goal. They thought the kiyum mitzvos were the goal. And limud Torah was just a path to get to achieve that goal. Limud Torah is an eitza, a siba, the kiyum mitzvos. If you could find another siba and eitza, the kiyum mitzvos, then you don't need limud Torah lefi da'atam. So if you have someone, you know, you have a mimetic tradition from your family where you watched how your mother cooks in the kitchen and prepares for Shabbos and he warms things up for Shabbos and how your father says Kiddush and whatever. Good, so then you do that. You don't even need Limud HaTorah, because Limud HaTorah is only a way to achieve the goal. That is Das Rashi. That was their mistake, according to Rashi, that the Torah was not Chashuba Beineyam. Aval, someone have a question?
Yeah, I know that the Torah itself is a mitzvah. How do they know that?
That was their attitude toward Torah. Did they know it intellectually? Maybe they do it intellectually.
I mean, that's just a question. I just don't understand. Even like the lo nagu kavodzelz at the whole. I just don't understand.
Yeah, let's put it this way. You see reflections of this in our generation also. That there are many people that learn dafka because they just want to know what to do. And they're not... Cut out all the explanation. When you start giving shiurim, you learn this a little bit. Sometimes, you know, different people have different attitudes. Some people can come and you give a shiurim kachim and it's kishmak, because it's kishmak haTorah, and they want to hear it. But sometimes, usually women, agav, you know, when you give a shiur and it's too theoretical and whatever, like lemaisa, like what difference is it? Like, let me know what I'm supposed to do. So there are people that have such an attitude, even in our generation. That's what it means. That attitudinally, the way they approach Torah was just as a how-to book, which it is. It is that also, but it's so much more than that, right? Meaning it's the Dvar Hashem.
So they did say Birkas
HaTorah. So whether they said Birkas HaTorah or not, whether they actually said it, just is irrelevant. I mean, the point is that they... Pasha Pshat is they didn't, but it wasn't Chashuv. The reason they didn't is because you don't say Birkas HaTorah and Hechsher Mitzvah. And they viewed it, in their mind, it was Hechsher Mitzvah. So says Rav Moshe, Rabbeinu Yonah lo mefarish kein. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't hold that. That's not what their mistake was, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Because if that was their mistake, then it was a mistake. They were shogeg, they weren't mezidit. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, they knew that Torah was a mitzvah gedolah, but they bemazed, didn't learn Torah l'shma, because the Torah just didn't talk to them. It didn't wasn't chashuv to them as much as other things were chashuv to them. You know, the Torah just wasn't. They were too busy chasing wealth. They were too busy chasing kavod and fame and all the other stupid things that people chase. That's where they put the emphasis of their life on. That's where they decided to put all of their efforts. You know, Rav Amital Zichrono Livracha used to write in one of his books that I think he has a sefer of drashos in Yom Narayim that he gave him Gush. So he writes that he remembers in Europe, a Baal Abbas would be someone who used his hands to earn a living, and his brain was dedicated for Torah learning. His brain was dedicated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he'd be sitting there, a carpenter, you know, putting things together, but his brain was to learn Torah. He said he finds that in the post-Holocaust era, that people have flipped it, you know, that people use their hands to do chesed, to do this, and run, and da, 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 but their brain is only for their profession. Their brain is only to be the best lawyer, and the best whatever, and the best doctor, and the best... So you have to dedicate the greatest gift that Ribbono Shel Olam gave you, your brain, not that you shouldn't use it for your profession also, because Ribbono Shel Olam gave you a brain, but you should engage your brain on a very high level in Talmud Torah. And sometimes people just have goals that are a little bit foreign from Torah. They're just so caught up in the hevel of everyday life. So that's what Rav Moshe writes. The mitzvah wasn't exciting enough for them to want to learn. Afshal adina, even though mikra din, they should have said a bracha, even when you learn shalol lishma, because even shalol lishma, you're supposed to be engaged in learning. But nevertheless, they didn't. And he says, "Umihi shalol kasha mashal lechora tamua eich nischayvu onesh al mashal lamdu shalol lishma al mashal lamdu shalol lishma adra v'gam schar yeshlam naf shalol lishma." So says Rav Moshe, "You're going to tell me, but wait, learning shalol lishma is still good. And even if you're learning shalol lishma, and even if it's not, you know, when you're only doing it because you think it's going to get you a better parnasa or something like that, it's still something you should get schar for. So how do they get punished for it? And they weren't learning lekanter, like Tosa says. They weren't learning to make trouble for anybody else." So he says, and it's obvious that they weren't learning the Kanta, because if that were the case, it wouldn't have been a mystery to the Nevi'im, right? The Nevi'im had no idea why it is that Allah Avda Aretz. So it wouldn't have been such a mystery if they were learning, if they had TikTok accounts that they were on all the time, right? That wouldn't have been a mystery what the learning Shalol Lishma was all about. No, it must have been that they were learning for Kavod, which is something that's Be'im Ke'alev. So he says, "Al mash merak shalol lishma lamdu aval lo lekanter shazol lanikol abrios kavanas adam." No one could tell why they were learning. So then, why are they punished? Eich nischayvu onesh. So the Yishlomer, the Yizbar, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shirak machmas shesofa lovel lishma hu mitzvah. When the Gemara says that you should learn shalol lishma, shemitol shalol lishma, bal lishma, it's only the kind of shalol lishma that will one day bring you to lishma. Sometimes your shalol lishma is so far removed from lishma that it's never going to get you there. Meaning you're learning, there's shalol lishma where you're learning for kavod. And then there's a person whose obsession with kavod is so unhealthy that his shalol lishma is never going to get him to a lishma. Because his relationship with his shalol lishma is such a core principle of his life and of what he focuses on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ziyodeya Asidos, V'im Ke'alev, that he's so shakua b'machshavas mara'a, that it's never going to be made in the lishma. And he says, then says the Rav Moshe, what does this have to do with us, with our Rambam? Ula yesh lefarish kavanas Rabbeinu Yonah shelchin zilzulu b'habracha lo mitzad shem p'turim l'fi maseihem el machar shleisa chashuva b'ineim chatu gam shelo levarich ach mitzad habracha lo yinei noshem kol kach im lo yezeh mitzad she'ina chashuva b'ineim l'mul l'shma. That it wasn't about the chet of not saying the bracha. It was about the fact that they didn't say the bracha was a function of the fact that they didn't value the mitzvah. V'ulai sover Rabbeinu Yonah k'dimash ram perakim l'tam Torah alachei perakim mitshuva alachei shalogaris u'b'mitzvos u'mash perakim l'tam Torah shu dafka. That the Rambam, he says, Rav Moshe says so much in one line. What does he say? Maybe Rabbeinu Yonah holds like the Rambam, where he doesn't have the girsa of Uber Mitzvos, where he only has the girsa of Torah. And Mashma Paragimel Mitalmud Torah Shu Dafka. What does he mean by that? That in Paragimel Mitalmud Torah, it sounds like it's not just happens to me that it's not the girsa. Because the Rambam makes a big deal out of it, that that's what separates Torah from everything else. It's Dafka Talmud Torah, it's not other Mitzvos. Talmasha Talmud Torah Godel Mitzvos Masik Lefichach Yasu Gam Shalol Lishma. And he says, because the Rambam concludes that it's l'fichach, you should do shalol lishma b'talmud Torah. So he says, l'chor, it's difficult, because all the rayas are from mitzvos. So says Rav Moshe, v'ulai gardas b'torah u'b'midos, sharegilus b'midos maybe l'de lishma. He says maybe Betora is when the Rambam has the girsa Betora. It's not that he didn't have the girsa at all of any other word. He just had the girsa of Betora. No, he had Betora ubimidos, that it was Betora because according to what Moshe is saying, if a person's midos are at a point where his whole life revolves around shalom lishma, he's never going to get to the lishma, and that's not a shalom lishma you want to do. You get an onesh for such a shalom lishma. But when he has a certain basic sense of midos, he has a certain basic sense of values. Okay, so he has a taiva for money, but his life doesn't revolve around money. He has some basic sense of morality, some basic sense of ethics, some basic sense of midos. So that basic sense of midos will take his Torah shalom lishma and allow it to become a Torah lishma. So that is one mahalik. I mean, where Moshe understands that the Rambam is saying dafka Torah and not mitzvos. That he dafka doesn't say mitzvos.
I remember in Chaim Lado said that 20 years ago or so that the vortex makes sense, you know, that there weren't machshiv Torah as compared to other stuff. But how does that fit into the lashon of Pircho Birchas of Torah Tchila? So he says, it's not the border of Birchas of Torah. So when he went for a bracha, he went to a tzaddik, but he asked for a bracha, so the first thing you're supposed to say, I want to be a talmud chacham, we must leave my learning. Over time, that became less important than they asked for pranasa, they asked for shiram, they asked for help, they asked for... That was a little beautiful for the when he asked for shiram, when he asked for bracha, he wasn't thinking about your learning. That
against what the stipler told the shechter, right? Wow. You know, the maestro of shechter went to the stipler and he asked for a bracha for hatzlacha and learning. The stipler said, name. No brachas for hatzlacha and learning. You have to be a master and you'll be tzliach and learning. But you have to ask. That's like the Rav Asher Weiss story with his father, the Pleisenberger Rebbe, right, where his father asked the Pleisenberger Rebbe for a bracha to have children who light up the world. If that's what you're asking for a bracha for, then you'll have children like Rav Asher Weiss and his brother.
I might have mentioned, but how is the master that Rabbi Yonah is like the Rambam and not Rashi for the same lashon?
So he said there has to be a difference, right? Rabbi says, what was the diuk in Rabbi Yonah? I don't know what his diuk was in Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Moshe doesn't, right? He's not really medayik in the lashon. He just says there has to be something that is different, right? Does he make a diuk in Rabbi Yonah? I don't think so. It's just that Rabbi Yonah, if the Ran is making a big deal out of Rabbi Yonah, must be saying something more than just what was the way Rashi understood. That's what Moshe says.
What about, I don't get the mitos thing, meaning it derives it from mitzvos. What does mitos do for us?
Because all of those mitzvos that they emphasize were a reflection of a lack of mitos. You know, balak and whatever. So it's all a reflection of a lack of mitos. So if a person has proper mitos, then it's going to be balak shema.
Is he really the gersa is just that mitzvah, like the rabbi had the gersa of the Torah with mitos, like instead of the mitzvos? Like the Rashi by like Paraduma or
I can tell you an actual example of Dalit and Sadi, right? You know, there's a Sefer, I forgot what it's called. Someone stole Rav Shechter's notes on the Rav Shirum at Sittis and typed them up and printed them and sold them. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein had to run around Meir Sharm buying out, confiscating every copy. Rav Simon has a copy when he gave Shirum at Sittis. The person kept on writing Vitzarachim, kept on putting in parentheses, they had a million marmakomos, and then Vitzarachim. And it didn't make any sense, because there was no Tzarachim, like everything made sense. So they realized that the guy took Rav Shachter, so Rav Shachter, you've seen his handwriting, he has a very curvy handwriting. So when Rav Shachter was in the Rav Shir, he would take notes, and then when he would add his own marmakomos, he'd put in parentheses, Ayin, the Yehuda, and blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, right, Vidal Rayin, Vidas Atmi. Meaning, this is my own, this isn't from the Rav. So the person took Rav Shechter's notes. And every Dal Rayin turned into, he spelled it out nicely for us, Vitzarachiyun. So there's no Vitzarachiyun. So yeah, it's not so, Midos Mitzvot, it's not so shocking that obviously they weren't writing in that same kind of script, but not terribly shocking that would happen.
Did they find the guy?
Well, they know who the guy is. Yeah, that wasn't a shayla. So amazing. The Alter Rebbe has a different mahalik. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Balatanya in Hilchos Talmud Torah, as Rav Shachter points out, that the Alter Rebbe rewrote Hilchos Talmud Torah because the Rambam didn't do such a good job. I don't know what that means exactly. Rav Shapta says that every time he quotes the Alter Rebbe in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam wasn't so organized in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He starts off with not what you're supposed to, who does learn but who doesn't learn, and you know, like, which is of course all the Mefarshei Rambam deal with. But you know, the Alter Rebbe thought that he had to reorganize Hilchos Talmud Torah because it wasn't so clear in Shulchan Aruch with the Rambam. So in Shulchan Aruch Harav, he writes, Elevade de b'mitzvah si shapir, sha mitzvah nas is kitikna al kolponim, el shavasa yin el shem mitzvah. I mean, you take a lulav shalol l'shma, at the end of the day, you took a lulav. Avol b'tal matorah, k'shalomi v'inu m'kayma shalomi, r'ay lov nemer l'or shomer l'kem malach l'sabr chukai. Meaning, you might think the Torah shalol l'shma is dafka that, much worse than the mitzvah shalol l'shma. Because let's say you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah, right? So you give tzedakah to the person, even though you're doing it shalol l'shma, you give it tzedakah because your rabbi's watching, or your wife is watching, or your girlfriend is watching, you want to impress her that you're a generous person. At the end of the day, the Ani doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're doing it to impress your girlfriend or if you're doing it because you're a compassionate soul. At the end of the day, he's got his money. So shkoyach, you did your mitzvah, right? So it's fine. But it's a chiddush that Talmud Torah could be done, shalol l'shma, and that would still be considered something of value. Meaning, says the Alter Rebbe, the reason that the Rambam highlights Talmud Torah and not mitzvos is not because it's not true of mitzvos. It's true of mitzvos as well. But it's that it's obvious by mitzvos. So it's less obvious when it comes to Talmud Torah. So the Rambam's highlighting that which is the bigger chiddush. V'sal kadei d'chamina sh'roi lo shalo yilmod. I might think better not to learn. That even though it's not going to be maybe the day ma'isa like immediately, it will be maybe the day ma'isa l'besof. Problem with the Balatan is Mahalich. Is the Rambam made a big deal about how Talmud Torah is greater, right? And that's why you do it shalol l'shma, because it's greater. So how is the Alter Rebbe going to read that Rambam? So the Alter Rebbe is probably going to read the Rambam by saying that even though, you know, if any other mitzvah would be like Talmud Torah in that it's really a chutzpah and you're not accomplishing anything when you're doing it, then it wouldn't have been strong enough to overcome that pitfall, and we wouldn't be able to do shalol l'shma. But because Talmud Torah has such great value, because of the godless of Talmud Torah, even though it's on a lower level than every other mitzvah, in that there's no immediate value to it, it's still kedai to do it shalol l'shma. Meaning it's in the theoretical world, it's not in the real world that the Rambam is highlighting the value of Talmud Torah. Meaning that there is this difference between Talmud Torah and Shar Mitzvos. Namely, that by Shar Mitzvos, there's immediate value because the mitzvah al kolpanim was done. Whereas by Talmud Torah, the mitzvah is not al kolpanim done because the mitzvah is the lo nas lasos, and you're not going to be osei, you're not going to fulfill anything if you're doing it shalol l'shma. So lu yitzuyur, if you had such a thing by other mitzvos where there was a way to do it without doing it, where there's a way to do shalol l'shma, but you're not accomplishing that which was meant to be accomplished, then it would never be worthwhile doing. Then it would be worthless. It's only because Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is so chashuv, that it's Talmud Torah is connected kulam, that even though in the world of Talmud Torah, the shalol l'shma is shalol v'nas lasos, it's still worthwhile doing. Well, what the Alter Rebbe seems to really be distinguishing is he seems to be assuming that every mitzvah is like a goal-oriented mitzvah. That it's al kolpanim, you did the mitzvah. It's not so pashut b'chorah. Right? I mean, there are different types of mitzvahs. Rav Yosef Engel calls it mitzvah b'al l'chaver b'al l'makom, but it doesn't really mean that. What it means is that there is Sacks, phrases it, Sacks in here this week, there's mice-oriented mitzvahs and there are goal-oriented mitzvahs. Right? There are some mitzvahs that you do where the mitzvah is just to do the mitzvah. Why? What is it accomplishing? You're accomplishing doing the mitzvah. You take lulav. Why? What does lulav accomplish? Yeah, the Gemara says it keeps away the ruchos and this and that, whatever. But, you know, you're doing the mitzvah. You're taking lulav. Why do you build a makal gagecha? You're trying to keep a safe environment. No one should fall off your roof. No one should die. It's a clear goal-oriented mitzvah. There's something that it's meant to accomplish. So Rav Yosef Engel discusses that we can't say Anos Rachman Apatre on a goal-oriented mitzvah. And we only say it in a mice-oriented mitzvah. Because what do you mean Anos Rachman Apatre? People keep falling off your roof. Yeah, but I've been really busy. Things have been busy for me at work, so it's an Anos. I didn't have time to build a map. Yeah, but people keep dying, falling off your roof. Meaning, Lemaisa, Aras Rakhman Apache, I keep forgetting my wallet, so I can't give any money to the Ani. He's got a credit card machine, I keep forgetting my credit cards. He can scan your eyeball and he can take your money. Whatever, I don't know, So shlichus is nafka meaning that it's on three levels. Meaning whether it's subject to shlichus, not subject to shlichus, or you don't even need shlichus. Right? Meaning if you hire a non-Jewish person to build the makah al gagecha, so that's what Rav Asher Weiss writes in Milchas Hashem al Basra, he points out that's for sure okay. A guy can be, there's no shlichus for a nachri, so how can you hire non-Jews? Because it doesn't even need shlichus. I mean, the point is purely the goal. It's not the maisa, the chlav. There's no Indian in the maisa at all. So the Alter Rebbe seems to be assuming that every mitzvah, the kiyuma mitzvah, the maisa itself is a goal. It's enough of a goal, and you accomplish the goal regardless.
There's one down that says that you need mitzvah shlichus
kavanah. Ah, so it's a problem, right? I mean, if you hold mitzvah shlichus kavanah, certainly from mitzvah d'oraisa, we paskin mitzvah shlichus kavanah. So what do you mean the Maisa Mitzvah is the goal? The Maisa Mitzvah is not the goal. The Maisa Mitzvah it still requires Kavanah to go along with the goal.
Especially when you're doing a mitzvah, there's no other reason to do it. Rather, there's a plus because it's like that. When you don't need to have Kavanah, like Lula Kavanah, when you're shaking the Lula. The fact that you want to shoot the Lula, a little you don't
So we'll talk about this when we discuss Mitzvah Kavanah. Maybe we'll discuss that next. What exactly Kavanah means, right? It doesn't mean L'shem Yichud or whatever, right? Famous interview.
Someone pays you $100 to say Shema, not Yotze. You need Gavana. You need to do it with the Shema. You don't do the Shema.
Yeah, so that's a difficulty with the Alter Rebbe. I'm not sure how he deals with it. The Agli Tal also, the Agli Tal ties this into Mr. Shuk's Kavana, but I think too much. Whereas the Alter Rebbe went too far away from Mr. Shuk's Kavana. I think the Agli Tal gets too close to Mr. Shuk's Kavana. Because he associates lo lishma with kavana, with a lack of kavana. And I'm not sure those things are. I'm pretty sure those things are not the same. Meaning, the Agli Tal essentially, in a nutshell, says that it's kedai to read. If you never read the Akdama of the Agli Tal, then I don't know what you're waiting for. At this time in your life, you should have read the Akdama of the Agli Tal. So you should read the Akdama of the Agli Tal. Even if the Agli Tal itself, the actual sefer itself, is a hard sefer, but the Akdama is not so hard. It's a very worthwhile thing to read. The Agli Tal essentially says that it's the Rambam l'shitasa that mitzvah shlichus kavanah and therefore shelo lishma would be bad by mitzvahs. Meaning, why does the Rambam not say you should do mitzvah shelo lishma? That Gemara says you do mitzvah shelo lishma. Torah u'mitzvah shelo lishma is going the man diyamar the mitzvah ain't shlichus kavanah. So if mitzvah ain't shlichus kavanah, so then yeah, it's good to do mitzvah shelo lishma. But the Rambam passes mitzvah shlichus kavanah, and therefore he could delete the word mitzvahs because he doesn't pass it like that Gemara. He passes mitzvah shlichus kavanah, and therefore shelo lishma is not of any value by mitzvahs. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, everyone agrees you don't need kavanah for Talmud Torah. So you could be yotze even shelo lishma. And then he goes on this whole, the famous part of the Agli Tal where he says that people think that in order to learn properly and to really be learning, you have to not enjoy it and you have to find it like drudgery in order to get real schar in Talmud Torah. And he says nothing could be further from the truth. Talmud Torah should be geshmak, and that's a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is to enjoy the learning and to chapana from the learning, to get excited about the learning. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The problem with the Agli Tal is, Agli Tal is the Avni Nezer, of course. The problem with this whole Mahalik is he's conflating these two issues of Kavana and Lashma. Meaning, what does Kavana mean? You know, we'll discuss maybe if we get to Mitzvah's Kavana. What does Kavana mean? Pashpya Kavana means I'm trying to do Mitzvah's Bori. I'm trying to do the Mitzvah of Kodesh Baruch. I'm trying to do exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. What does that have to do with Lishma and Shalal Lishma? I know that when I'm taking a lulav, I'm doing the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm intending to do the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's motivating me to do the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? My father standing over my shoulder and saying, you better take lulav today, or else you're not going to go on the Chalamoi trip to the Yankee game or whatever. Okay, so that's my motivation. My motivation to do it can be a million things. I can have motivation to do it. But it's still nothing to do with Mitzvah's Kavanah, Mitzvah's Kavanah. That's a very difficult mahalich. In the Rambam. Pashtus is like Ramesh said, the Rambam had a different girsa. Now whether you buy into Ramesh's whole Rabbi Yona versus Rashi and everything else, okay, but Pashtus is the Rambam just had a different girsa. Now, what also emerges from all of this is that everyone seems to be defining Shalom Lishma a little bit differently. Meaning everyone's having a different conversation. They're all trying to deal with the same Rambam, but everyone has it, you know, when you say, give me an example of Shalom Lishma. Right, so what's Shulchan Aruch HaRav going to tell you? If you say, Alter Rebbe, give me an example, you'll say it respectfully. Please, Alter Rebbe, quote Kocho. Give me an example of Shalom Lishma. What's he going to tell you? How does the Alter Rebbe understand Shalom Lishma? A Torah Shalom Lishma. Now it's Vegas? No, I'm not talking from the Tanya now. I'm talking about like from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He seems to say Shalom Laslasos. The Torah Shalom Lishma. Torah Shalom Lishma means Shalom Laslasos. Meaning, his whole chiluk is that when it comes to mitzvahs, you did the mitzvah anyways. I don't care whether it's Lishma, Shalom, Lishma. But when it comes to Torah, so I would think that since it's Shalom and Aslasos, it's terrible, Kamashmulan, that even though it's Shalom and Aslasos, it's still okay. So I'm going to learn all of Hilchas Tefillin and then not put on Tefillin tomorrow. That's Shalom, Lishma.
And
who's that? What did you say?
The first shot you said was the opposite. That the first, that Lolishma is only to use it as a guidebook to do the business, but not to
Lolishma. Oh, exactly, right. So everyone's working with a different, right, with a different definition of Shalolishma. So Tosos, how would Tosos say Shalolishma? So Tosos says, well, they're Tremini Shalolishma, they're two types of Shalolishma. Neither of them are Shalolasos. One is Lakantar and one is Lakavod. And there's the bad Shalolishma, which is Lakantar, and the good Shalolishma, which is Lakavod. Ramosha, Dibras Moshe, writes that l'chora, it should mean that you want to do the mitzvah for an ulterior motive. That's what Shalom Lishma. He said, well, you're not even trying to do the mitzvah. L'chora, that's not even Shalom Lishma.
Why would that not be the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? Why would that, let's say he's doing it for cover or something else. Why do you have to tie it into...
Because Shulchan Aruch HaRav, meaning what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav did is he narrowed the field to take away the idea of mitzvahs, right? Meaning, mitzvah Shalom Lishma might mean that, but Torah Shalom Lishma doesn't mean that. Meaning, he distinguishes between Torah Shalom Lishma and mitzvah Shalom Lishma. That a mitzvah Shalom Lishma must mean that the covenant or the contract is something else, but Torah Shalom Lishma doesn't mean that. Torah Shalom Lishma means Shalom and Asasos, whereas Tosos seems to put it all together, right? Now, all of this is different than Almanas Lekabel Pras, in a certain sense. Or not Almanas Lekabel, but is different with the expectation or the hope of receiving reward. Because after all, the Gemara Pesachim told us, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, wherever it appears and all over the place, that if you give Tzalazul Tzak V'shul Sheyich Ibni Yosheya Ben Olam Abba, Hareis Etzad the Gomor. So the question is, what does that mean exactly? Or is it tzad gomer? Is that true? Mamash a tzad gomer. So, and does this apply like to everything? You could do this with all mitzvos. So Rashi seems to assume that it's only for the mitzvah of tzedakah, meaning you're tzad gomer in that mitzvah of tzedakah, right? Says Rashi, hareis a tzad gomer bidavar zeh. You're tzaddik gomer at least for this mitzvah. Lamin shalol lishma osa. We don't say that you did it shalol lishma. Elakim is varish tzvel lasa tzedaka. Miskavin afla nasas mishkalol lavoshi chibana. I mean, what Rashi seems to be saying is that hareis tzaddik gomer means that it's not called shalol lishma. Meaning, like we said before, shalol lishma means that you're doing it al manas, that you're doing it only because, like the Netziv made, you're doing it only because you expect to get the reward, and if you don't get the reward, then you're going to regret it. But if you're doing a mitzvah and you know that with this mitzvah comes reward, and you're interested in that also, it's like, you know, someone asks you to do something for them, and they'll say, I'm happy to pay you for it. And you say, look, I'm happy to do it, you don't have to pay. But if you pay, I'll take it, but you don't have to pay. Right, so you'll take the money, right? But that's not shalol lishma because you would have done it anyway. Genuinely, you would have done it anyway. So that's not shalol lishma. So Rashi's highlighting that it's not called shalol lishma. Tosus says, but you know, Tosus points out, she's called Rashi says, "Gamar v'adit tnan al tiu kavadu v'sham shas rav al menas kavul pras." Haynu b'chi gadru shum lo tov lo osa tov v'shum tzap et tov mischarit al tzedakah sha'asa. Al Mishay, the Torah Mischari, there is a tzaddik gomer. based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Bava Basra, where this also appears, that it's similar again, that it all depends whether you're going to regret it or not. The words in Rashi that are hard to fit over here are the Dabar Zeh. Meaning, what's Rashi trying to tell me when he says, raise the Tzadik Gomor the Dabar Zeh? So, two ways to learn Rashi. I mean, there may be many more probably. But Dabar Zeh might mean, look, it's not like a ticket to Olam Haba. Like, you give Tzedakah Al Menashe Yechli B'ni, and then we're like, oh, don't worry about the Chilul Shabbos. Don't worry about the fact that you've been an axe murderer for the last 20 years. You know, don't worry about that. Harei Zeh Tzadik Gomor. No, it is time to come to Dabar Zeh. You've done tzedakah well. That's one way to learn Rashi.
Yeah, I think it's easier to say that more.
In other words, what's the problem with that way of learning Rashi?
That's so pashut.
It's so pashut. Rashi wouldn't need to tell me that. Yes.
I think it's more that you're the wrong attitude in life. So your mitzvah, this mitzvah is going to work, but your attitude in life is off. And that's why it doesn't make you a bad guy. You know.
Right. So my brother writes in his sefer that what it means is that you didn't mitzvah tzedakah well, your avas Hashem is lacking. Right? Meaning you didn't do avas Hashem properly. Attitude in life. Right? Meaning there's something wrong with your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So yeah, you know, in the scorecard up in Shemayim, you know, they fill in the box for tzedakah. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu filled in the box for tzedakah. But there's something missing in the relationship. So that's the tzaddik gomor. Tosfos l'chora is bothered by, wait a second. Tzaddik gomor does not sound like a pejorative. it sounds like a positive. So you're saying, or is it tzaddik gomor? So Rashi says, that kind of tzaddik. The kind of tzaddik that like just makes sure to check the boxes, but doesn't really care about how Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that doesn't really sound right. Oh, I didn't realize I'm overtime already. Okay, I apologize. Came late, right? It's too late, right? It's lunchtime. I apologize.
9 days of lunch. We got
one. All right, but everyone, take a look at the Nefesh HaRav and the Chinuch. That tzedakah is maybe different than all the other mitzvahs. But tomorrow, Beth Shem, we'll move on to a different. What? So Tos says that it matters whether you would regret it or not. As long as you don't regret doing it, then it's like the Nesif said, but it's inside of you. Because by Yibu, for whatever reason, the nature of the mitzvah is that it becomes a bias when it's shalom.
But that's crazy, because we don't even require a kavanah, but you can let you do a bal karka. You don't need anything, and somehow he brings it in. I got Avi Vipassi, like I'm sure, but Kavanah has been brought up in different places. He calls that thing the Bolish Shmah.
Yeah, I mean, the assumption is that
uproot the whole mitzvah.
Yeah, Yibu is clearly an exception, right?
It's the weirdest thing to me to say, because the one that doesn't require das at all, that's what you're happy about with the two. Right. The fact that you feel the
but it comes with a built-in out. Some stomach, the fact that
you can be moving every mitzvah, and she's spreading it, you're like, great, but somehow it's negative.
It's probably based on the pasuk, because the pasuk says that Zalakim Shem Lachim. So if it's not 100%
like, all my mother's like time share.
That's the nature of the mitzvah. Yeah.
I don't. The way that you.